Chapter 8.
Thanks for making the cake, Lexi,
Nan said, as she slid into the back seat of Ruth's gigantic Oldsmobile beside Lexi. Lexi looked down at the red velvet cake on the seat beside her. She'd had to cut her beach time with Jack short to make it yesterday afternoon, and he'd been unusually understanding. In fact, he seemed strangely disinterested in the case and the fact that she was a murder suspect.
Lexi?
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking how Jack seems only interested in fishing. He didn't even care that we were going to visit Victoria Dugasse today. Normally, he'd have all kinds of warnings about butting into police stuff. Ida turned in the front seat to face her.
Oh, that's how they get. When it comes to fishing, they become obsessed. I know Norman is. He has only fishing on his mind. Well, that and one other thing.
Ida winked at Lexi, who shifted uncomfortably in her seat, unwanted pictures of Ida and Norman bubbling up in her mind. Ruth maneuvered the car out of the resort and headed up the highway. Lexi wondered how she managed. Her eyes barely cleared the top of the steering wheel. Lexi tested her seatbelt to make sure it was fastened properly.
Do you really think she'll buy our ruse of wanting to give our condolences?
Helen asked.
I don't see why not. It's the proper thing to do,
Nance replied.
Besides, we'll make it seem like we are on official business from the resort. Then she'll be more likely to talk to us.
Hopefully we can get her to open up enough to tell us where she was that morning, Ida said,
because if she wasn't in the kitchen, she could have been out by the dumpster with Dugasse.
Nans finished the sentence. Well, I doubt she's going to tell us she killed him. Lexi cringed as Ruth turned into the parking lot for the hotel, her back tires going up over the curb and crushing a bed of petunias.
No, but hopefully we'll be able to tell if she's hiding something,
Nan said as Ruth parked the car. Everyone got out. Lexi grabbed the cake and followed the four women into the gigantic hotel, happy to have gotten there in one piece. The lobby was sumptuous. Lexi's sandals sunk into thick carpeting in a dark blue and gold pattern as she walked past the giant marble table that held a vase of flowers, which must have been 6 feet tall and 3 feet wide. A crystal chandelier sparkled above the flowers. Nance walked past the oak-paneled front desk and straight to the elevators. Ruth had somehow gotten the room number, so they knew just where to go. They rode the elevator up to the 8th floor, turned left, and walked the 50 feet to room 845. Nance knocked on the door. Lexi heard the safety chain slide, then the door opened a crack. A baby blue eye peeked out at them.
Yes?
Mrs. Dugasse?
Nance asked.
Yes?
The door swung open to reveal a tall blonde who raised her perfectly plucked eyebrows at them. Lexi noticed she was wearing an expensive pink silk sleeveless shirt and white capri-length pants. Her bare feet sported petal pink painted toenails, and gigantic pink diamonds glittered in her ears.
We're from Lakeshore Resort. We'd like to express our condolences,
Nan said as Lexi shoved the cake in Victoria's face.
Oh, do come in.
The door swung open and they stepped inside while introducing themselves.
Please call me Victoria,
their host said as she took the cake from Lexi.
Would you like a piece?
No, thanks,
Nan said, and the rest of them shook their heads. Victoria put the cake on a sideboard and gestured them further into the opulent suite. They settled in the living room. Victoria, Nans, and Ida picked out chairs, while Ruth, Helen, and Lexi shared the sofa. The room was decorated with French provincial furniture in off-white. Pink curtains and throw pillows accented the white upholstered sofa and chairs. Lexi wondered if the hotel just happened to have a pink room, or if Victoria had redecorated. A white Pomeranian with pink-tipped fur pitter-patted into the room. You dyed your dog's fur? Lexi asked.
Yes, well, just the ends.
Victoria picked the tiny pooch up. A girl, Lexi assumed by the pink bow, kissed the top of her head, then set the dog on her lap.
My hairdresser says it is quite safe.
A motion to Lexi's left caught her attention. She turned her head and felt her eyebrows shoot up. It was a maid in a black and white uniform. Who has a maid in a hotel room?
Oh, Mara, why don't you bring us some lemonade?
Victoria glanced at Nance and the rest of them, who nodded.
Six lemonades, then.
Myra disappeared, and Nance put her hand on Victoria's arm. We're so sorry about the loss of your husband.
Thank you.
Victoria dabbed at her eyes with a tissue, even though there were no tears. Lexi noticed that pink and white diamond rings were stacked on almost all of her fingers. Her wrist displayed a flashy Rolex watch.
You knew Alain?
She asked after the appropriate amount of eye dabbing. Nance nodded.
We enjoyed his food. Lexi here is the pastry chef in the kitchen at the resort.
Chef Dugasse will be missed, Lexi said, forcing a smile at Victoria, then crossing her fingers behind her back and hoping not to get struck by lightning. The maid came in, saving Lexi from having to say anything more. She handed out crystal glasses filled with lemonade. Pink lemonade, of course. With the formalities dispensed, Nance got right to the point.
You were there that morning, right?
Victoria's eyes went wide.
Well, I noticed your lovely pink car, Ruth said. It's quite distinctive. Hard to miss. Oh, yes. I suppose I was there earlier.
Victoria took a sip of lemonade.
To see your husband?
Nance asked.
Yes.
And you had a fight?
Nance persisted. Victoria's eyebrows mashed together.
How did you know that?
Oh, one hears things. Nance waved her hands. It must be very disturbing to you to have been fighting right before he... Well, you know.
Yes, it is very sad for my last memory to be of that fight. Although, I doubt Alain would feel the same way.
Nance looked at Victoria over the rim of her lemonade glass.
Why do you say that?
Because Alain was having an affair.
Nance's eyebrows shot up.
An affair? What makes you say that?
Victoria shrugged.
He had been sneaking off at around 2 in the morning on several nights. He thought I didn't notice that he got up early and left.
And you confronted him about that?
Ida asked.
Yes, of course. I used it as leverage to stop him from curtailing my spending.
Victoria waved her hand around the room.
I need to be kept in the manner to which I've become accustomed.
What did he say when you confronted him? Lexi asked.
He denied having the affair. Typical cheater.
Victoria studied her frosty pink nails. Lexi noticed that she didn't seem very upset about the affair or his death. Do you have any idea who he was having the affair with?
Nope. It could have been anyone, Victoria said.
So, you were using the knowledge of the affair as leverage to keep your spending habits. But why? How would that help you?
It's all in the prenup. Alain would lose a lot of money if he had an affair.
Lexi saw Nance exchange glances with Ida, Ruth, and Helen.
But if you killed him, then you'd get to keep all the money either way,
Nance said. Victoria's back stiffened.
Is that what you think? That I killed him?
She dumped the pink pooch on the floor and shot out of her chair. Storming over to the door, she held it open, gesturing for them to leave. Lexi took the hint and got up from her chair, as did Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, They filed out the door. Victoria stood in the doorway and watched them go.
"And for your information," she yelled after them, "I didn't need or want to kill him. The truth is, Alain would have made even more money after he won the chili battle. So you see, he was worth much more to me alive than dead."
She didn't seem too upset about her husband being dead, Lexi said once they were strapped into Ruth's Oldsmobile and heading back to the resort.
"But she sure got upset when she thought we were accusing her of killing him,"
Ida added.
"That doesn't necessarily mean she killed him."
Ruth looked at Lexi in the rearview mirror.
"I doubt she is the killer," Nan said. "If Dugasay was going to become even richer because of winning the chili battle, it wouldn't be in her best interest to kill him."
"Unless he was going to divorce her and leave her out in the cold," Ida ventured. "Maybe that's what they argued about." Lexi pressed her lips together. "I wonder who he was sneaking off to see in the early morning. That seems like an odd time to meet a secret lover."
"I bet it was that Sylvia Spicer. They had a lover's spat and she killed him," Ruth said.
Lexi blew out a whoosh of air.
"Maybe. There's a lot of things we still need to look into. Like where that other trail leads, and if Sylvia really was in the freezer when Dugasay was being stabbed. And we need to find out more about this chili contest. How come everyone is so certain that Dugasay was going to win?"
"Good question," Nan said. "We do have our work cut out for us."
Ruth rolled down her window and stuck her hand out to signal for the turn.
"Ruth, you know that most everyone uses the directionals on the steering column now, right?"
Ida turned around and rolled her eyes at Nan's, Helen, and Lexi in the back seat. Ruth ignored her and made the turn, almost clipping the outer corner of the sign for the resort.
"Do you want me to drop you off at your cottage, Lexi?"
Ruth asked. Lexi glanced at her watch.
"Actually, why don't you drop me off at the dining lodge? I have to make tarts today, but I'm going to do a bit of poking around first to see if I can get any of these questions answered."